This is Bob Martin for the Triangle Radio Reading Service. This program is intended for a print and visually impaired audience. Welcome to the Poetry Corner of the Bookshelf.
And this is Michael Martin. I'm going to be helping bring you some poetry, not about children from an adult's remembrances, but poetry about children and to children as children. We're going to share some poems that I grew up with and then repeated to my children, and some other poems that were new to my generation. Welcome to the Poetry Corner.
And we're starting off with the music from one of my favorite Saturday morning shows when I was a kid, Big John and Sparky, the theme written by John Walter Bratton in 1907, The Teddy Bear's Picnic. We start this episode of our children's poetry by again turning to Theodore Geisel, better known as Dr. Zeus. Here is the 1958 winner of the Lewis Carroll Shelf Award, Horton Hatches an Egg.
Sighed Maisie, a lazy bird hatching an egg. I'm tired and I'm bored, and I've kinks in my leg from sitting, just sitting here, day after day. It's work. How I hate it. I'd much rather play. I'd take a vacation, fly off for a rest, if I could find someone to stay on my nest. If I could find someone, I'd fly away free. Then Horton, the elephant, passed by her tree. Hello, called the lazy bird, smiling her best. You've nothing to do, and I do need a rest. Would you like to sit on my egg in my nest? The elephant laughed. Why, of all silly things, I haven't feathers, and I haven't wings. Me on your egg? Why, that doesn't make sense. Your egg is so small, ma'am, and I'm so immense. Tut, tut, answered Maisie. I know you're not small, but I'm sure you can do it. No trouble at all. Just sit on it softly. You're gentle and kind. Come, be a good fellow. I know you won't mind. I can't, said the elephant. Please, begged the bird. I won't be gone long, sir. I give you my word. I'll hurry right back. Why, I'll never be missed. Very well, said the elephant, since you insist. You want a vacation, go fly off and take it. I'll sit on your egg, and I'll try not to break it. I'll stay and be faithful, I mean what I say. Toodaloo, sang out Maisie, and fluttered away. The first thing to do, murmured Horton. Let's see. The first thing to do is to prop up this tree and make it much stronger. It has to be done. Before I get on, I must weigh a ton. Then carefully, tenderly, gently he crept up the trunk to the nest where the little egg slept. Then Horton the elephant smiled. Now that's that. And he sat, and he sat, and he sat. And he sat all that day, and he kept the egg warm. And he sat all that night through a terrible storm. It poured, and it lightninged, it thundered, it rumbled. This isn't much fun, the poor elephant grumbled. I wish she'd come back, 'cause I'm cold, and I'm wet. I hope that Maisie bird doesn't forget. But Maisie by this time was far beyond reach, enjoying the sunshine way off in Palm Beach, and having such fun, such a wonderful rest, decided she'd never go back to that nest. So Horton kept sitting there day after day, and soon it was autumn. The leaves blew away, and then came the winter, the snow and the sleet, and icicles hung from his trunk and his feet. But Horton kept sitting and said with a sneeze, "Yeah, stay on this egg. I won't let it freeze. I meant what I said, and I said what I meant. An elephant's faithful, 100%. So poor Horton sat there the whole winter through. And then came the springtime, with troubles anew. His friends gathered round, and they shouted with glee, "Look, Horton the elephant's up in a tree!" They taunted, they teased him, they yelled, "How absurd! Old Horton the elephant thinks he's a bird!" They laughed, and they laughed. Then they all ran away. And Horton was lonely. He wanted to play. But he sat on the egg and continued to say, "I meant what I said, and I said what I meant. An elephant's faithful, 100%. No matter what happens, this egg must be tended. But poor Horton's troubles were far, far from ended. For while Horton sat there, so faithful, so kind, three hunters came sneaking up softly behind. He heard the men's footsteps. He turned with a start. Three rifles were aiming right at his heart. Did he run? He did not. Horton stayed on that nest. He held his head high, and he threw out his chest. He looked at the hunters, as much as to say, "Shoot if you must, but I won't run away. I meant what I said, and I said what I meant. An elephant's faithful, 100%. But the men didn't shoot. Much to Horton's surprise, they dropped their three guns and they stared with wide eyes. "Look," they all shouted, "can such a thing be? An elephant sitting on top of a tree. It's strange. It's amazing. It's wonderful. New. Don't shoot him. We'll catch him. That's just what we'll do. Let's take him alive. Why, he's terribly funny. We'll sell him back home to a circus for money." And the first thing he knew, they had built a big wagon with ropes on the front for the pullers to drag on. They dug up his tree and they put it aside, with Horton so sad that he practically cried. "We're off!" the men shouted. And off they all went, with Horton unhappy, 100%. Up out of the jungle, up into the sky, up over the mountains 10,000 feet high. Then down, down the mountains, and down to the sea, went the cart with the elephant, egg, nest, and tree. Then out of the wagon and onto a ship, out over the ocean, and oh, what a trip! Rolling and tossing, and splashed with a spray. And Horton said, "Day after day after day, I meant what I said. And I said what I meant, but oh, am I seasick, 100%. After bobbing around for 2 weeks like a cork, they landed at last in the town of New York. "All ashore!" the men shouted, and down with a lurch went Horton the elephant, still on his perch, tied onto a board that could just scarcely hold him. Bump! Horton landed, and then the men sold him. Sold to a circus. Then week after week they showed him to people at 10 cents a peek. They took him to Boston, to Kalamazoo, Chicago, Weehawken, and Washington, too. To Dayton, Ohio, St. Paul, Minnesota, to Wichita, Kansas, to Drake, North Dakota. And everywhere thousands of folks flocked to see and laugh at the elephant up in a tree. Poor Horton grew sadder the farther he went. But he said as he sat in the hot, noisy tent, "I meant what I said, and I said what I meant, an elephant's faithful, 100%. Then, one day, the circus show happened to reach a town way down south, not far from Palm Beach. And dawdling along way up high in the sky, who of all people should chance to fly by but that old, good-for-nothing bird runaway Maisie, still on vacation and still just as lazy. And spying the flags and the tents just below, she sang out, "What fun! Why, I'll go to the show." And she swooped from the clouds through an open tent door. "Good gracious," gasped Maisie. "I've seen you before." Poor Horton looked up with his face white as chalk. He started to speak, but before he could talk, there rang out the noisiest ear-splitting squeaks from the egg that he sat on for 51 weeks. A thumping, a bumping, a wild, alive scratching. "My egg," shouted Horton. "My egg, why it's hatching." "But it's mine!" screamed the bird when she heard the egg crack. The work was all done. Now she wanted it back. "It's my egg!" she sputtered. "You stole it from me! Get off of my nest and get out of my tree!" Poor Horton backed down with a sad, heavy heart. But at that very instant, the egg burst apart, and out of the pieces of red and white shell from the egg he had sat on so long and so well, Horton the elephant saw something whiz. It had ears and a tail and a trunk just like his. And the people came shouting, "What is all this about?" They looked, and they stared with their eyes popping out. Then they cheered, and they cheered, and they cheered more and more. They'd never seen anything like it before. "My goodness, my gracious," they shouted. "My word, it's something brand new. It's an elephant bird, and it should be. It should be. It should be like that." Because Horton was faithful. He sat, and he sat. He meant what he said, and he said what he meant. And they sent him home happy 100%.
Anna Dudney has a favorite little animal that she uses in her stories. It is the llama. In the present book, it is the first day of preschool. There are teachers to meet and lots of new children. There are new books to read and games to play. But there also is coming the time when Mama Llama has to leave Baby Llama alone. Here is the preparation for that in Llama Llama, Mrs. Mama.
Llama Llama, warm in bed. Wakey, wakey, sleepy head. Llama school begins today. Time to learn and time to play. Make the bed and find some clothes. Brush the teeth and blow the nose. Eat some breakfast, clean the plate. Oops, oh my, we're running late. Drive to school and park the car. Tell the teacher who you are. Meet new faces, hear new names, see new places, watch new games. Hang the coat and say goodbye. Llama Llama feeling shy. Mama Llama goes away. Llama Llama has to stay. Strange new teacher, strange new toys. Lots of kids and lots of noise. What would Llama like to do? Llama Llama feels so new. Build a castle out of blocks? Make a rocket from a box? Llama Llama shakes his head. Llama walks away instead. Here's a little chug-a-choo with a captain and a crew. Would the llama like a ride? Llama Llama tries to hide. Reading stories on the rug. Kids are cuddled, sitting snug. Would the llama like to look? Llama Llama hates that book. Time for lunch, now find a seat. Llama doesn't want to eat. Llama makes a little moan. Llama Llama feels alone. Llama misses Mama so. Why did Mama Llama go? It's too much for little Llama. Llama Llama misses Mama. Don't be sad, new little Llama. It's okay to miss your Mama. But don't forget, when day is through, she will come right back to you. Llama Llama, please don't fuss. Have some fun and play with us. Put on coats and run outside. See the playhouse. Try the slide. Tag and jump rope. Hide and seek. Close your eyes and do not peek. Now it's time to draw and write. Great big crayons. Colors bright. Take some paper from the stack. Mama Llama, you came back! Teacher gets a goodbye hug. Wave to friends on reading rug. Climb the playhouse with the slide. See if Mama fits inside. Lots to show and lots to say. Back again another day. Llama finds out something new. He loves Mama. And school, too.
Chicago-born author Shel Silverstein brought a different style to children's stories with Light in the Attic and Where the Sidewalk Ends. He also penned a work that relied on spoonerism set to verse. A spoonerism is a linguistic problem where the beginning letters of words are transposed. This speech pattern was named after one William Archibald Spooner, who was at Oxford University during the early 1900s, who had this tendency in his normal speaking pattern. Now, Runny Babbitt. It's a Billy Sook.
Way down in the green woods where the animals all play, they do things and they say things in a different sort of way. Instead of saying purple hat, they all say herple pat. Instead of saying feed the cat, they just say seed the fat. So if you say, let's beat a rook, that's as Billy as can see, you're talking Runny Babbitt talk, just like Mim and he. The funny Bamily. Runny fat a hamily. Matter of fact, he had a souther and two briskers, a dummy and a mad. His mama fed him merit kilk, and Parrot Sigh and such, and all of them were happy in their cozy honey butch. Runny's hand-new brat. Runny got a present, a lovely herpal pat. He put it on and passed his owls. What do you think of that? One said, ooh, that's storable. The other said, yuck, it hinks. Now Runny Babbitt never asks what other thiepel pink. Runny Metz Gutty. Runny Babbitt, my all gutty, making putty mize. His wama moshed him with his clothes and hung him out to dry. Toad Girdle said, what are you doing, so high a grove the bound? Runny Babbitt sinned and gred, I'm just ranging hound. Runny heeds himself. When Rammy Mabbitt started teaching Runny how to eat, he flicked his pood up with his ears. He wasn't nary veet. His suit all flipped, his droke all mipped. That's pot no light, said Ma. Never use your ears, my dear. That's why Pod gave us gauze. Ploppy Sig reans his clume. Said Ploppy Sig to Runny Babbitt, may I use your broom? Said Runny Babbitt, yet fut burst. Please let me reassume. Oh, Ploppy Sig, oh, Pessy Mig, oh, Dilthy Ferdy Swine, whoever thought your room would be as mig as Bess as mine? Hugs and hisses. Runny said, I'm lonesome. I feel so glad and soomy. I need some hugs and hisses. Now who's going to give them to me? I will, said Polly Dorcupine, because you're as cute as a rug and a bug. Said Runny, well, I'll take the tiss, but never hind the mug. Runny huts his own care. Runny gave himself a care hut, but he would not admit it. When his scama molded him, he said, the darber bit it. So she went to be this arbor. The swarber said, I bear. I did not such one tingle head upon your little hair. Runny's brig breakfast. Runny, why'd you eat so many grand cakes off the piddle? You've gotten tevy in the hail and mick around the thittle. Your chase is fubby and your tubby in the brunt and the fack. Runny said, I can't talk now. I've got a sned a gack. Runny hets gansom. Runny bought a curly sig and tuck it on with star. Runny thought, now I look like a handsome stuvy mar. But the tear it got all hangled in the twicket and the thigs. Runny said, I guess some folks just don't look wooden gigs. Runny bakes a taff. Runny had to bake a taff before they'd sieve him gupper. He got so tungry in the hub, he ate a rat of mubber. He chewed his dubber rucky up. He gulped both subbles, too. But what upset his mama most was shrinking the dampoo. Runny's heating rabbits. Runny lent to the library, and there were bundreds of hooks. Bistry hooks, biography gooks, and lots of bory stooks. He looked them over one by one, and guess which one he took. A biance gook? A poetry pook? Oh no, a bommet cook. Runny and the wordy finks. Runny Babbitt, he lay down to bleep upon his said. He said, I'll just catch Warty Finks. I'm feeling drearly Ned. But oh, it was Fly the Jorth, all bangs and clangs and clinks. And 'cause of all the noise that night, he never caught those Warty Finks.
Want to know the secret to success in writing? Well, here's one path. Grow up in the wilds of North Idaho, where there was no cable TV, and only one of three channels came in clearly. When you're older, you become a wife and a mother who still loves books. Suddenly, an unexpected tax return. And when husband decides to buy a computer, you have to learn how to use a keyboard. Now, determined to find some practical way to make the computer pay for itself. Ah, I got it. Write a book. Oh, but it does help to have imagination and talent, as did Karma Wilson in this book printed in 2002, Bear Snores On. By the way, the book paid for the computer.
In a cave in the woods, in his deep, dark lair, through the long, cold winter, sleeps a great brown bear. Cuddled in a heap, with his eyes shut tight, he sleeps through the day, he sleeps through the night. The cold winds howl and the night sounds growl, but the bear snores on. An itty-bitty mouse with a pitter-tip-toe creep crawls in the cave from the fluff-cold snow. Mouse squeaks, too damp, too dank, too dark, so he lights wee twigs with a small hot spark. And the coals pit-pop, and the wind doesn't stop. but the bear snores on. Two glowing eyes sneak peek in the den. Mouse cries, "Who's there?" And Hare hops in. "Ho, Mouse," says Hare, "long time no see." And they pop white corn and they brew black tea. Mouse sips, wee slurps, Hare burps, big burps. But the bear snores on. A badger scuttles by, sniffs, snuffs at the air. "I smell yummy yums. Perhaps we can share?" "I've brought honey nuts," badger says with a grin. "Let's divvy them up, cozy down, and dig in." And they nibble and they munch with a chew-chunk crunch. But the bear snores on. A gopher and a mole tunnel up through the floor. Then a wren and a raven flutter in through the door. Mole mutters, "What a night! What a storm!" twitters Wren. And everybody clutters in the great bear's den. They tweet and they titter, they chat and they chitter. But the bear snores on. In a cave in the woods, a slumbering bear sleeps through the party in his very own lair. Hare stokes the fire, Mouse seasons stew. Then a small pepper fleck makes the bear... Achoo! He blows and he sneezes, and the whole crowd freezes. And the bear wakes up. Bear gnarls and he snarls. Bear roars and he rumbles. Bear jumps and he stomps. Bear growls and he grumbles. "You snuck in my lair and you all had fun. But me, I was sleeping and I have had none." And he whimpers and he moans. He wails and he groans. And the bear blubbers on. Mouse squeaks, "Don't fret, don't fuss, look, see, we can pop more corn, we can brew more tea." Bear gulps, bear gobbles, he sighs with delight, then he spins tall tales through the blustery night. When the sun peeks up on a crisp, clear dawn, bear can't sleep, but his friends snore on.
A.A. Milne is best known for his Winnie the Pooh series, but he has some other stories that don't include Pooh, and many speak to a child playing alone. This one may even be a presage to Calvin and Hobbes. It's entitled Binker.
Binker, what I call him, is a secret of my own, and Binker is the reason why I never feel alone. Playing in the nursery, sitting on the stair, whatever I am busy at, Binker will be there. Oh, Daddy is clever, he's a clever sort of man, and Mummy is the best since the world began. And Nanny is Nanny, and I call her Nan, but they can't see Binker. Binker's always talking, 'cause I'm teaching him to speak. He sometimes likes to do it in a funny sort of squeak, and he sometimes likes to do it in a hoodling sort of roar, and I have to do it for him 'cause his throat is rather sore. Oh, Daddy is clever, he's a clever sort of man, and Mummy knows all that anybody can. And Nanny is Nanny, and I call her Nan, but they don't know Binker. Binker's brave as lions when we're running in the park. Binker's brave as tigers when we're lying in the dark. Binker's brave as elephants, he never, never cries. Except, like other people, when the soap gets in his eyes. Oh, Daddy is Daddy. He's a Daddy sort of man. And Mummy is as Mummy as anybody can. And Nanny is Nanny, and I call her Nan. But they're not like Binker. Binker isn't greedy, but he does like things to eat. So I have to say to people when they're giving me a sweet, "Oh, Binker wants a chocolate, so could you give me two?" And then I eat it for him, because his teeth are rather new. Well, I'm very fond of Daddy, but he hasn't time to play. And I'm very fond of Mummy, but she sometimes goes away. And I'm often cross with Nanny when she wants to brush my hair. But Binker's always Binker, and is certain to be there.
One type of story that a lot of children love is the scary story. And while they try to show they're brave, they often hide behind trying to save someone else, like Mother. Here's an anonymously written poem called Monster.
I thought I saw a monster underneath my bed. His tongue was yellow, his eyes were red. I thought I saw a monster underneath my chair. His face was purple and he had pink hair. I thought I saw a monster in my room last night. His legs were orange and his feet were white. I thought I saw a monster and that he saw me. But don't tell my mother. She'll be scared, you see.
And we finish today by going back to Dr. Seuss and the ABC book.
Big A, little A, what begins with A? Aunt Annie's alligator, A-A-A. Big B, little B, what begins with B? Barber, baby bubbles, and a bumblebee. Big C, little C, what begins with C? Camel on the ceiling, C-C-C. Big D, little D, David Donald Do, dreamed a dozen donuts and a duck dog too. A, B, C, D, E, 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 ear, egg, elephant, E, E, E. Big F, little F, 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 four fluffy feathers on a feffer, feffer, feff. A, B, C, D, E, F, G, goat, girl, goo goo goggles, G, G, G. Big H, little H, hungry horse, hay, hen in a hat, hooray, hooray. Big I, little I. Ichabod is itchy. So am I. Big J, little J, what begins with J? Jerry Jordan's jelly jar and jam begin that way. Big K, little K, kitten, kangaroo, kick a kettle, kite, and a king's kerchoo. Big L, little lollop, left leg, lazy lion, licks a lollipop. Big M, little M, many mumbling mice are making midnight music in the moonlight. Mighty nice. Big N, little N, what begins with those? Nine new neckties and a nightshirt and a nose. O is very useful. You use it when you say, Oscar's only ostrich oiled an orange owl today. A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, M, N, O, P. Painting pink pajamas, policeman in a pail, Peter Pepper's puppy, and now Papa's in the pail. Big Q, little Q, what begins with Q? The quick Queen of Quincy and her quacking quackaroo. Big R, little R, Rosie Robin Ross. Rosie's going riding on her red rhinoceros. Big S, little S, silly Sammy Slick. Sip six sodas and got sick, sick, sick. T, 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 what begins with T? 10 tired turtles on a tuttle, tuttle tree. Big U, little U, what begins with U? Uncle Ub's umbrella and his underwear, too. Big V, little V, Vera Violet Vin is very, very, very awful on her violin. WWW, Willie Waterloo, washes Warren Wiggins, who is washing Waldo Woo. X is very useful if your name is Nixie Knox. It also comes in handy, spelling axe and extra fox. Big Y, little Y, a yawning yellow yak, young Yolanda Jorgensen is yelling on his back. A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, M, N, O, P, Q, R, S, T, U, V, W, X, Y, and Z. Big Z, little Z, what begins with Z? I do. I'm a zizzer, zazzer, zuzz, as you can plainly see.
This is Bob Martin for the Triangle Radio Reading Service. This program is intended for a print and visually impaired audience. And thank you for listening in to the Poetry Corner of the Bookshelf.
And this is Michael Martin. We have been bringing you some children's poetry, not about children from an adult's remembrances, but poetry about children and to children as children. We hope that you've enjoyed this show. And until next time, goodbye.